Well, during this series on five practices of fruitful congregations, we've been following this book that was written by Robert Schanese, and Pastor Allen's been teaching a class along that book at the 10 o'clock hour. And while the focus of the book is on congregations, the practices that he lifts up are very much a part of our walk as fruitful followers of Christ. And as we live out these practices, it changes how we experience things. It gives us more and more the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, in this book, Schanese describes the fourth practice as risk-taking mission and service. And he begins this chapter with a story that really hit home for me, so I would like to share it with you. I'm going to read excerpts of that from that chapter. Our host greeted us at the airport, and after some minutes of squeezing luggage into tight spaces and cramping people into van seats, we set off from the city into valleys green with tropical forests. The winding road rose and fell with every quick turn. We all leaned heavily into each other. With each dip and bump, we'd grasp and groan and joke and hold on even tighter. Daylight faded as we felt smooth pavement give way to gravelly roadbeds and eventually to heavily pitted dirt roads. Streetlights and headlamps became fewer and fewer. We were maneuvering slowly around giant potholes in total darkness with only our high beams providing illumination. Our van drew to a stop along a fence in what appeared to be an unpaved village street. Our driver turned off the headlights. The black, moonless night swallowed us up. We couldn't see anything, but we could hear voices, lots of people crowding against the van. When we stopped, we could feel the press of people, young and old, shaking hands, offering to carry our baggage and supplies and welcoming us and blessing us. We shuffled up the steps and through the gate to a small parsonage where a lantern lit the crowded kitchen. Every room seemed packed with people who wanted to help. We learned that the generator that usually provided for lights in the evening had failed. Miscommunication about the dates and times meant the meal wasn't ready. And miscommunication about the numbers resulted in fewer cots and rooms than there were people on our team. Gradually, team members stepped from the dark corners of the room and they volunteered to sleep in chairs or sleeping bags. Our host briefly then reminded us of the various risks associated with the latrines and malaria and well water. The burning enthusiasm that carried the team through the early morning flight many hours earlier seemed to flicker low. And in the gentle light cast by the lantern, you could see people mulling over the situation, and you could almost hear them thinking, "What in the world are we doing here?" Well, late at night, food arrived. After some gathering for devotions and prayers, we found rest, wondering what in the world would the morning bring. Well, roosters crowed us awake, and before the early tropical sun rose, we could hear the voices of neighbors around us and women preparing breakfast and men sharpening their machetes before heading out in the field. And we stepped out onto the porch to see a procession of girls with bowls on their head and coins in their hands as they would go to the mill to buy masa for the family. The smell of burning wood filled the streets as people set forth to prepare food, clean clothes, take baths in basins beside their home. In this village, without electricity, with no sewage system, no cars, just occasional bus, neighbors drew from common faucets, shared bicycles, walked together in small clusters from far away to far away markets. Hosts welcomed us for breakfast, and soon we heard the details of our work assignments. For the next 5 days, from early morning till late at night, we would lay floor tile in the village church. We would mix concrete side by side with the local teens. Some of our team taught and learned songs with the children, told Bible stories, and helped with the artwork. We offered a come-as-you-are, whenever-you-want vacation Bible school. That's novel, is it? Whenever you want. We worshiped with our host congregation of the stars, preaching, praying, and singing in both English and Spanish. 5 days later, after a flurry of work deep into Saturday night, the sanctuary was complete for Sunday morning, and we watched with delight and humility as young children danced barefoot along the fresh, cool tiles while members of the congregation lifted their voice in prayer and in song. And after worship, one final meal. This team of college students, retirees, dentists, doctors, teachers, musicians, bankers, preachers, we all loaded our bags and squeezed back into the van for the ride back to the airport. And Shanice says this: we were well aware of most of the risks involved, but mission initiatives changed the lives of those who received the help and changed the lives of those who served. Putting yourself on the line, taking risks to serve people, to serve the least of these, is a spiritual act. It's a form of worship God. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus talks about two different groups of people. He talks about the righteous people, not self-righteous people, but people really attempting to live in alignment with God's ways. He says, when the Son of Man comes as king, that these righteous folks will be on his right, a place of honor, the others on his left. It's kind of a story of judgment that Jesus uses the contrast of sheep and goats. And he will say that he will come to you and say, you're blessed by my Father. Come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you. Because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you received me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, you visited me. And the righteous go, well, like, when did we do that? And Jesus said, whenever you did it for one of these least important, you did it for me. Jesus was making it clear that acts of kindness and service, even to, especially to, the lower rungs of the social ladder, are serving God. God's Spirit lives in every single human being. God's presence isn't dependent upon social class or status or other earthly measuring sticks. And stepping out in faith, risk-taking service, is one way that we offer ourselves to God. Jesus said, when the least of these are served, you're serving me. You know, after reading this chapter, I love the story because I like been there. And I thought back, I've been involved in 20 different mission trips. And it's changed my life. Part of rebuilding homes in Washington, D.C. and Detroit. We were part of a group that built a church in Cape Haitien, Haiti. We went down to Johns Island, South Carolina, to repair homes that were hit by Hugo. And we went down with a group to West Virginia shortly after the flood many years ago. So many relationships built as we worked together with local people. The learning that took place, serving alongside people of different cultures, it changed the lives on both sides of the equation. I think I've told this story before. I think I've told it once before, but I'm going to tell it again because I love this story. I'll never forget when Laura, our daughter, went on her first mission trip. We took a group of 80 teenagers down to West Virginia to repair homes that had been damaged by the flood. Laura was only in eighth grade, and the group was really ninth graders and above, but we weren't going to leave her home alone, and she was by far the youngest in the group. We were a little worried about her. Well, like 3 minutes after she got on the bus, she was like gone. I mean, she fit right in. We didn't have to worry about her. But I kind of kept an eye on her. She was working a house five doors down from the house I was working on, and they were putting a roof on this home of a 90-year-old woman whose husband had died like 40, 50 years ago of black lung disease. We were in this little holler, as they call them, down West Virginia. And her roof leaked like a sieve, so her team was working on that roof. Well, the group would spend time on their breaks talking to the woman, and Laura loves to talk to people, and she spent some time with this 90-year-old woman. And she said, "Well, you know, what do you like to do?" And the woman said, "Well, I love to bake. I really love to bake. I like to make cookies and pies and bread and all of that." And she said, "But I haven't been able to do that for a while." And tears started to come down her cheeks. And Laura goes, "Well, why can't you bake anymore?" And she said, "My oven hadn't worked for like 10 years. Stove works, but the oven doesn't work." So Laura pulled her little group together and she said, "We need to buy this woman a stove." And the group said, "Yeah, that's a good idea." So all the kids kind of pooled their money, and then they all went back to their individual youth groups. We all met as the youth groups, our big youth group from our church at night. We were sitting on the gym floor, and Laura told the story of this woman. And she was rather passionate about it. She's, "We must buy this woman a new stove." And everybody in our youth group said, "Yeah, let's help be a part of that." So Laura grabs the hat off my head, a little baseball cap. I'm sure it was a Michigan cap. And she passes it around and she says, "You all need to give. We need to buy this stove." And so the hat went around the circle and everybody pulled money out of their wallets or their purses or whatever. And I was the last one to get the hat. So I pull out my wallet and I put a 20 in the hat. And I'll never forget what Laura said to me. She said, "Dad, you can do better than that." I'm thinking about asking her to speak next week for Stewardship Sunday. And down at Miller Commons, where we have screens, I have pictures of this woman with her old stove and her new stove and the kids working on the roof. But I'm like, wow, what a lesson she's learned. And she's going to carry that with her the rest of her life. And all the kids in our youth group, you just saw this dramatic change. God works through service. You know, I'll never forget this quote from Tony Capole. He's one of my absolute favorite guys. And he did this interview. He's a sociologist. And he took this survey among people 80 and older. And he asked them this question. If you were to do life all over again, how would you do things differently? Anybody want to guess what the number one response was? They would take more risks. Take more risk. I mean, sometimes by just playing it safe, we miss out on so much. Are there risks in serving other people? Well, absolutely. And you know, from time to time, you do everything you can and you serve people and they don't seem to care. So what? Not about them. There's so many stories. We could be here forever, and I know you don't want to hear all these stories, but I could tell you some amazing stories from mission trips. Like, I'll never forget being in the middle of Iowa about 2 a.m. on a school bus that broke down. And you learn things. Sleeping in airports overnight, responding to medical emergencies. There's always problems. Always problems. It's always risk. And we could have avoided all that. Just stay home. Just write a check, drop $5, we're good. What a missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity. People's lives are changed forever on both sides of the equation because we take risk and we step out in faith. Last week, I mentioned that we as a church have a rather simple mission statement. I like simple because we can figure out if we're doing it pretty quickly. And I want us to repeat that again. So are you ready? We're going to say it all together. Our mission as a church is to connect, grow, and serve. We're going to say that again because you didn't get it the first time. Connect, grow, and serve. So what are we talking about? Connecting people to God through the power of community, through radical hospitality, passionate worship. We grow people up intentionally. We develop people in faith intentionally, stretching them and growing them into spiritual redwoods that are strong and resilient, and we serve. We serve. We use the gifts of everybody to serve. And by doing so, we become the body of Christ. We serve by using our gifts inside the walls, outside the walls. I have to tell you, over the course of quite a few years in ministry, the most difficult assignment is finding someone who says, I'll teach junior high Sunday school. I don't know why, but that seems to be, nobody wants to do that. So over the years, I've seen people who say, oh, okay, I guess I'll take my turn at it. And they think that they're going to get like roped and tied and hung somewhere. I don't know. I mean, really? But almost every single occasion, you work with these kids for a year, and it's, oh my gosh, what a privilege this is. I mean, what an amazing thing it is to work with these young folks. And they blessed me so much. I mean, isn't it just great to stay up all night and play floor hockey? I mean, that's cool. And believe me, you take a risk doing that. That's risk-taking mission service, even though it's in our building. In the last few years, we have dramatically turned up the thermostat on serving here at DeWitt. This afternoon, right after church, there's a group, our confirmands will be headed down to the Samaritan Center to serve meals. We're trying to do that at least 8-9 times a year. This past week, we had this wildly successful dinner. Raised money for Meals on Wheels, and people were exhausted, but they knew it made a difference in the people's lives. And a couple times the last few years, I've been able to go with one of the drivers as they delivered the meals, and it's like, this is not just about a meal. It's about a connection. You're changing people's lives. How do you do this stuff and it doesn't impact you? Every year we do summer servants with kids from a number of different churches. They stay here. They serve down in Syracuse. Lives are changed. The missions of the month that we support, we don't just contribute. A lot of our people are involved in these missions. And then a couple weeks ago, Warren Machel, who's been involved in this thing called Operation Southern Comfort for a long time, said in January 7th through 15th, Operation Northern Comfort is going to repair flooded homes in Baton Rouge. And if you're interested in knowing more, talk to Warren or let me know. But I do need to let you know this. It used to be called Operation Southern Comfort until the distillery said, you can't do that. But they did make a generous contribution of cash, not in kind. Not that that would be all bad. But I'd love to see us take a group from here, whether it's in January or maybe another trip later down the year. But send us a note if you're interested. Summary here. Risk-taking mission. is a spiritual act. And God meets the needs of the least of these, our brothers and sisters. And at the same time, God blesses us and stretches us as we serve. Now, as we come a time for communion, I really want you to think about those words of Jesus and how he lived them out with his life, even to his death on the cross. And as we take communion today, I encourage you to remember these words, how Jesus blessed us with God's grace and God's mercy by giving of himself. Let's pray. Lord God, remind us again of your life of service, of the risk and sacrifice you made on our behalf. May it always remind us of your great love for us and for your instruction to love others by not only our words, but by our deeds. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.